Hello everyone, this is The Bookcast. It's episode 127. The Bookcast, it's a podcast where we talk about Nintendo games and news from an Australian perspective. My name's Stephen, I'm your host today. And with me is a co-host whose name is Daniel. Hi Daniel, how are you Daniel?
Hi, the co-host with the mo-host.
The mo-hostest. So how's things in your neck of the woods?
I'm there okay, raining.
Do you live in the woods?
No.
Oh.
It's Kelmscott, so I for people who don't listen to this and are from another country, that'll mean nothing to them.
It's a horrible place full of demons and angry people.
No, that's Armadale.
Anyway, yeah, this is the Bookcast. We talk about news and talk about games, and we've got some news today. Not as much as last time, because we didn't leave a five-month wait between it. So,
have like two directs happen right after each
other. Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, so we'll start with probably, I don't know, the most controversial news of the week that sort of went all over the place. Firstly, we found when was it? March 23rd was a report. So when's that? Wednesday of last week, a report came through from the Japanese publication Nikkei, who implied that Nintendo were going to cease manufacturing of the Wii U by the end of this year. And clearly it didn't seem too outlandish, because we all know it's not doing too fantastically as a console, and we're all expecting it to be replaced in the not-too-distant future by something.
Can I just say, my reaction was, they're still making them?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that they were... I'm sure I heard something a while ago that they weren't making as many, or because...
I mean,
I would assume that they'd have warehouses full of them at this point.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. But yeah, that was a report that came out, which, you know, reports and rumors come out all the time. But this came from Nikkei, which is somewhat more reputable than your average NeoGAF poster, I guess. yeah, so it turned out I think just the next day, or maybe on the same day actually, Nintendo saw this clearly and decided to respond to it, saying that this isn't an announcement from our company. From the next quarter and thereafter as well, production of the Wii U is scheduled to continue. So it's not stopping apparently, but who knows?
I mean, are they still making Wiis? Or have they officially stopped making them?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any in stores, but that's hardly a big sample size of where Wiis might be sold.
I mean, they're still releasing, like, Just Dance for it. And, I don't even know. I don't even know if they're still... Because I know the GBA got retired pretty late.
After the DS was, you know, well and truly around. But yeah, so,
I mean, depending on what's happening with the NX and this year and all that, I kind of think Nikkei might be on the money with it. It just, in my mind, the Wii U, you know, for as much as I love it, I fully understand it's not a system that's sold a lot.
I mean, for me, the thing that makes it seem plausible is just the fact that there's so little on the horizon. We've got Star Fox Zero, and we've got we've seen like 1 minute of footage for a Zelda game that who knows when that's happening, or, you know, doesn't seem completely unlikely that that might skip a generation onto the next console or something like that. It's hard to say, but between, you know, just having Zelda and Star Fox in the upcoming year for the console, it doesn't really, you know, scream out that they're going to keep this thing around for much longer. It sort of seems like it's on, you know, it's there because they've got nothing to replace it so far, is what I'm thinking.
I can think of at least two other games for the Wii U this year.
Yeah?
Mario and Sonic.
Yes.
And Lego Star Wars The Force Awakens.
So games that come out on literally every platform and an Olympics
Mario
game.
Mario and Sonic, yes.
Okay, well, even with those, it's still not a flood of titles. It's not amazing. But yeah, I mean...
Come on, in the dying days of the N64, we would have been happy for four games over the course of a year.
Things are better now. You don't have to think about those horrible times.
Conkers and Paper Mario and like a Tony Hawk game?
I mean, sort of one thing that I found interesting is an article that Vuk put up a couple of days after this whole rumor and rebuttal of event, because there are a few people wondering why we took this as, having a bit more credence than most rumors, because usually if there's any rumors that happen, they'll either not get posted about on Voxel, they'll get held off into the NX sort of weekly rumor roundup of just making fun of dumb rumors. But he put up an article about what the Nikkei have. Well, I'm not sure if it's the Nikkei or Nikkei. I'm just going to go with Nikkei. Have done a lot of reporting to do with Nintendo over the last couple of years, and a lot of it's turned out to be correct. Like back when the GameCube was sort of in the same situation where the Wii U is now, and they said they're going to keep the GameCube going by adding extra peripherals and things like that, Nintendo replied to them saying, no, that's all speculation and not a direct response to the subject or something to that effect. But then, later on in that year, they were bringing out microphones for Mario Party and Dance Dance Revolution pads and things like that. And there's just a whole bunch of different examples like that with the DSi, the DSi XL, a couple other things like that that were reported on by Nikkei. They were staunchly denied by Nintendo, and then in some cases, like the next, within a week, they had announced the thing that Nikkei said would be announced. And yeah, it just makes you think that, I can see why Vuk puts a lot more faith in Nikkei over most rumor sources.
So what do you think, though? Do you think it's true or not?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think it's probably, if they're still making them now, they're probably going to either slow down considerably or stop in the near future. Like, why? As I say, there's nothing else that we know of coming to it, so why would they keep making a system that's struggling to sell now, and they're not going to give people much more reason to buy it in the future either, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
If the Wii U is ending up this year, that's 4 years?
Yeah, I think.
That's not a horrible run. That's like
GBA length run. Because console wasn't around Xbox, for a while.
The original Xbox didn't even last that long, did it?
Can't remember.
The original Xbox did sell a lot more than the Wii U, but
it did.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not a terrible lifetime to say we should have a Wii U obituary this time next year probably, but no, it's got Smash, that's all I needed, really.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's that. on to more news. Apparently Miitomo was doing really, really, really well in Japan. I don't know if we talked about it last month or last episode. Miitomo has come out in Japan. That's Nintendo's first mobile game, social networking application. I'm not quite sure how to... It's a thing that is Miis and you talk to it. It's topping the charts in Japan on social networking and the overall charts. And it's hard to describe exactly what Miitomo is.
It sounds like a cross between Tomodachi Life and the Everyone Votes channel.
Yeah, a little bit. From what I gather, you sort of create your Mii and then you sort of ask questions of other people, and then their Miis will reply back to you. And Everybody Votes and the Mii channel seems like a fairly... Tomodachi Life seems like a fairly accurate comparison.
And apparently there is like some little mini games you can play in it.
And you can use it to earn the My Nintendo coins, which will get different rewards that are sort of yet to be confirmed. Or there are only a couple that have been confirmed so far, but sort of the replacement for Club Nintendo. Probably if you want a good sort of idea of exactly what happens in the game, Vuk has a fairly comprehensive quick look at Miitomo on the YouTube channel or on the homepage. It'll be there as well. It's worth having a look. It's all in English, but you can only get it in Japan. Apparently, Nintendo Australia said that it would be coming here before the end of March, but I've also been reading earlier on today that all mention of it coming out in March has been removed from the official sites, so maybe it's not quite coming out in March. Who knows? We'll find out at the end of March, I guess.
I think we're all interested in it just to see what it is and how it all goes.
Yeah, I mean, it might be a flash in the pan and sort of appear and we'll all forget about it in a month's time, but I want to try it out.
Hope not. I mean, I'm interested in it,
Speaking of those coins, one of the rewards that's being you can get in Japan at the moment is DS games that you can play on your 3DS, which is interesting.
Yes, the Nintendo account rewards or whatever it is launched.
Yeah, so you can get platinum points with, I assume, by... I'm not sure if you buy them or if they're just earned in Miitomo so far, probably. But it's not Virtual Console. It doesn't run in, like, it doesn't have save states or anything that you'd expect from a Virtual Console game. But you can buy WarioWare... Is it WarioWare Touched?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, you can get that with platinum points on your My Nintendo account in Japan. And it basically runs as though it was a DS game in the 3DS. So that uses the hardware DS that's inside every 3DS, from what I understand.
So it's basically like DSiWare.
Yeah, yeah, exactly like DSiWare, actually, is what I read. So, yeah, good work. but, yeah, so...
Yeah, that's the sucky thing about... You know, because when you're playing something that's in DSiWare, DSi mode, you lose all your street pass. I think your pedometer stuff, that stops.
Like,
well,
the entire system is dedicated to DSi stuff, and, yeah, it turns off all the background functions that you kind of expect to be there, which it's a bit of a bummer, but, no.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they're doing this. This is sort of like, I'm fine with them doing it as like, here's a special reward instead of like, oh, here's something you can buy with half the functionality.
Yeah, I guess if you were buying it, people would expect Virtual Console sort of functionality out of it, or some people would, and it would make people grumpy if they couldn't do regular Virtual Console stuff for a thing they bought.
It's like why they haven't bought the GBA Ambassador games.
Yeah.
They can't get it running to the level that they want to get it running at.
Speaking of, I wonder if they'll get added in this kind of reward system. That would be interesting. I mean, a lot of people don't have that ambassador reward program like me, and I'm glad I do, but you know, feel bad that no one else can play Metroid Fusion on their 3DS.
I would only want them to if they... You know, the big problem I have with those is that the 3DS functionality is even worse, because if you... You know, if you're playing a DS game, you close the lid, it goes in sleep mode. You close the lid of a GBA game, the game's still running.
Yeah.
It doesn't go into sleep mode.
Because the GBA never had any concept of sleep mode, apart from very specific games.
Some of these other rewards don't look too bad, though. That you got the Mario suit for Miitomo, or... like, you can get discounts for buying games online. So, I mean, that's not a bad sort of setup, I think.
It's sort of, you know, at least as good, if not better, than all the stuff we had on Club Nintendo. They occasionally had some interesting things, but I feel like I'd prefer to buy, you know, to be able to get the games on my systems rather than a deck of, folders or something.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned it, but did you know I have a US 3DS?
I had no idea.
Okay. So... One of the good things about the US Club Nintendo was they'd usually cycle it out every month. They'd have, here's some different download games you can just use to redeem your coins with. And that was a lot of DSiWare or maybe some Virtual Console games.
And to be fair, they did have that towards the end of Club Nintendo here as well, so
yeah,
that's
and
worth
like,
mentioning.
Right at the end, they did sort of like a Club Nintendo fire sale where they're like, you know what, fuck it, just put everything up there.
Get rid of it.
His Star Fox 64 for like 600 coins.
Just
and
give
like,
you something to spend all of those otherwise worthless points on.
I will do that. Or like, you know, I picked up like Art Academy, that brain training game that never came out here. I think I came very close to getting that Yoshi's Island, but like he poops eggs and it's fart noises and all that.
New Island? Is that what you're thinking of?
Yes. The egg pooping one.
I see. Are you playing a bass?
No.
It sounded like there was a bass. Anyway.
Oh, I probably hit my microphone. Sorry.
that's games coming to the 3DS that are DS games. That's kind of cool. Let's see. What have we got next on the agenda? Because this is a meeting of the minds. a couple of, I guess you'd call them indie games that have been announced for the Wii U, which is they're two ones that I'm quite happy that are coming to the system. The first one is Axiom Verge, which if anyone hasn't heard about it, it's sort of at the moment out on PS4, coming to Vita, and I think it's on PC? Or I might be wrong. It might just be... already on PS4 and Steam. There we go. But yeah, it's basically all developed by one guy, and it's a game very much in the style of Metroid, I guess. It's sort of, you know, the 16-bit 2D shooter slash explore-em-up, as you might call it, if that's the way you talk.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Metroidvania.
Yeah, I try to avoid it, but I'm glad you went
there. Oh, come on. That's the accepted term from now. The guy who made it may hate it, but
exactly.
That phrase is stuck with Jeremy Parrish for life. And so, yeah. I'm really excited for this. I'm probably not going to end up getting it on the Wii U, though, because I like the idea of having it on the Vita.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed playing Guacamelee.
I'm pretty sure I already have it on PS4 as well, so
yeah,
I'll probably won't buy it here.
But cross-buy.
Yeah, there are people who don't have a PS4, and that'll be wonderful for them, and I imagine it'll be, you know, quite nice to play on the gamepad. It'll be almost like playing the Vita in bed. You just have a slightly bigger screen.
Yeah, so it's probably coming out to everything but, like, the 3DS, which I'd have to imagine is just a power problem.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, as much as it looks like a Super Nintendo game, I'm sure there's a heck of a lot more going on under the hood than it would have been for a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah. I mean, it looks really good, though.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about it. I am really keen to get my hands on it as soon as possible.
Yeah, definitely. And as well as that, there was another game that we've seen a lot less of called Oddworld Soulstorm, which is apparently coming to the Wii U in 2017 by the same sort of developers that were behind Oddworld. Is it Oddworld New and Tasty? Can't remember.
It's the same developers behind all the Oddworld games, isn't it?
I think obviously their team probably would have changed a bit. It's overall Oddworld Inhabitants, but I think Just Add Water are the specific team that are doing the current games. But yeah, we don't know a lot about Soulstorm. They've basically said that it is a fresh narrative, but a complete story retake inspired by the original tale. So, like, everyone sort of initially thought that their next game would be an Abe's Exodus remake in the style of New and Tasty, but this kind of leaves it open to possibly be something else, or it's really hard to tell. They haven't really said much about it beyond, you know, a couple of lines of PR and an image that they very slowly are revealing if enough people follow them on Twitter or something. Just they're showing people black and white pictures of Abe's hand and chest and things like that, which I guess there must be something, some clues in there somewhere.
I have no interest in Oddworld.
Really?
I never had a PlayStation.
Oh, you're one of those people. You're one of those Nintendo 64 people. Gosh.
Yep. I might have the GBA. I might have the Game Boy one here.
Oh, man, that thing's great. Yeah, I probably should.
Is it really?
Well, I wanted it as a child. I don't know if it's actually great, but you should play it if you own that video game.
I'm pretty sure I picked it up on PSN for, like, on the PS1 Classics, I think.
Okay.
Pretty sure it came out that. And I've got Stranger's Wrath on there. I've always wanted to play that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I've not touched any of the Oddworld games. I am unabashed in my fanboyism. What's a Tomb Raider game? Never even looked at
it. I'll correct what I mentioned before. They didn't say that it was coming to the Wii U. They haven't actually said any platform that it's coming to, but it's out in 18 months, and who knows what platform will be happening at that point. But it's safe to assume it'll probably come to a Nintendo thing that is around in 18 months' time, I guess. But yeah, Oddworld Soulstorm, I guess we'll find out what's going on there. And now we've gone on with the actual credible news, and now let's talk about some NX rumors, because they're fun. So I assume you and probably everyone that listens to this podcast has seen the various leaked, I'm saying that in quotation marks, images that have gone out over the last couple of days or week or so.
That abomination.
Like, to describe it to anyone who possibly hasn't seen it, it's based...
Stewie Griffin's head.
Yes, it's based on a patent filing that was done a little while ago by Nintendo, which could be an indicator of what they're doing. It might not be, you never know. But basically, it was a wide oval that was one big screen with two weird analog nubby things on either side in the middle of the screen. And it's that, and that's super weird.
Yeah. I had no issue. I think the Wiimote took me like a couple of minutes to fully get my head around. And the gamepad, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, the Wii U gamepad. This, I'm like, No.
Exactly, like...
No, that's just... How? Why?
And, like, to clear it all up as well, that has now been confirmed as fake, the person who made the...
Well, the first one got confirmed fake, but the second lot, no one's actually said yes or no
I think the second one was... got reconfirmed as well, but I might be remembering that wrong. Was the second one the same sort of... the same actual design, just different photos of it?
Well, the second one was, like, white.
Yeah. And the other one was sort of black on a wooden desk next to a MacBook. I remember that one. But yeah, they both look real dumb. And yeah, at least one of them has been confirmed as fake because the person who made them sort of showed their process of making it, which is, it's worth watching if you have any interest. It's kind of, you know, shows, I think he used a combination of 3D printing and rendering in, you know, computer graphics and stuff like that to make a clearly very convincing version of what might be an NX controller.
This is like an amazing era of fakes that we live in now. It's like, there is no way to know if something that leaks is real or not unless like Nintendo comes down and goes, oh yeah, that's real.
Exactly. Like,
that's really what it is.
If anyone has the skills and the time, they can make something that clearly was able to fool most of the internet.
Like, you can do like a 3D printed shell for a DS or a gamepad screen and go, no, look, see, it's actually playing the games. It's totally legit.
Yeah.
Give me all your internet money for clicks. So, yeah.
I mean, I'd like to say that I thought it was fake from the start, but it seems a bit silly to say now that it has been confirmed. But, you know, it looked dumb.
And even if it was real, I mean, it could work. I sort of have faith Nintendo could make something like that work.
I feel like if you're putting a label on there that says confidential property, then maybe you're trying a bit too hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was this week's rumor. I don't think there was anything else really to say about that. It was, yeah, people thought it was real because it matched a patent filing, and turns out it was not. So yeah, that's that. That's the news. So we'll take a quick break here and come back to talk a little bit about Pokken Tournament. And we're back. We're going to talk about Pokken Tournament now. We had a lively discussion during the break to work out how you say it, and we came to the conclusion that Pokken, like Pokemon and Ken Tekken, so Pokken Tournament, that's what we're going to say from here. Please leave a like, comment, and subscribe if you think we're wrong. Pokken Tournament.
Please like us if you... I'm whatever. Yeah, just like us regardless.
Yes, just tell me that you like me. Pokken Tournament.
Steven's charming and he has a beard.
It's out. We've been saying for months that it might come out on Wii U. It might not. Maybe it would only be in the arcade. But here it is. It's in my house on a disc. What do you think about Pokken Tournament?
It's nifty. I actually really like
cool.
it.
Cool. End of podcast. Bye.
Out of all of us, I'm probably, you know, I enjoy playing fighting games, but I am in no way good at them. We've seen when I play Smash, it's like I'm not playing to win.
No,
I'm just playing to be an annoying bastard.
You still win sometimes, but yes,
I've only used one. I haven't used in the whole 2 week or so I've been playing it. I haven't used any of the other Pokemon.
Really? You've just been Pikachu, yeah. Libre.
Yes, because she's adorable, and she's got like little wrestling mask on, and she does like her poses, and it's all like, no, I'm just gonna fuck some shit up with a Pikachu and a Lucha Libre mask.
Well, I mean, just to give a rough idea of sort of my understanding of how it all works, basically, you have two Pokemon, you're in an arena, and you are controlling them because you have a wonderful link and bond with your Pokemon or something. There's some weird story justification as to why you can control a Pokemon directly instead of just yelling at it, telling it what to do. But yeah, you sort of run around a 3D arena using, you know, ranged attacks or regular not ranged attacks, melee attacks, let's say that.
Yes.
And yeah, you can sort of, yeah, there's two phases which I found kind of interesting. You've got the regular where you can sort of run around freely in three dimensions. And then there'll be certain moves where if you hit an opponent with them, then it changes you into What did it have a specific name, like the close-up phase?
I am totally not looking at it online at the moment.
A phase where you're really close up, anyway.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
I mean, yeah, essentially, there's like you're, when you're in that second mode, then it changes to be a bit more like a traditional 2D fighter, I guess. So you can only move left.
I guess the comparison would be Dragon Ball Z fighting game and then to Tekken fighting game.
I don't know. I've played a lot of Dragon Ball Z games that were just straight up 2D. I think my comparison would be more like it starts off like probably a current example would be like a Naruto game, like where you're sort of running around free roaming and fighting in that sort of circular-ish arena. But yeah, when you go into this, it becomes, as you say, kind of more like a Tekken game, a traditional 2D fighter where you can only move left or right, jump or duck, or like have an upper, you know, you can sort of lean up, lean down, and you have an entirely different moveset as well in that phase, which is kind of interesting. So every character has, you know, a whole pile of moves to remember or to mash until they work. How did you find? How did you find sort of getting into the game and, you know, playing it from someone who's, as you say, not hugely into fighting games that have extensive differing move lists for every character? How did you find it?
I mean, I spent probably, like, you know, I played for the first three lots of the tutorial. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll probably just put a bit of note. I did play the arcade version when I was in Japan. And I probably played it maybe half a dozen times. And I found that my big problem was I just didn't know the moves. And even though the moves are very simple, it's not like, you know, you're doing up, up, down, down.
Yeah, you don't have, like, complicated, ways to input it. It's just a direction and a button, basically, but you've got to remember which direction and which button does what in which situation, so...
Yeah, so it is still a lot to memorise, and I think that's also why I've only stuck with one character, because I know how to use Pikachu Libre quite well, and I sort of know what moves I can pull out and when. And I forgot what the original question was. But yeah, I mean, but when I was playing it over there, because I didn't have the tutorial, I didn't really know what I was doing, and stuff was just like, oh, I'm in like a field mode now, and now I'm in like the versus face-to-face mode, and what's going, what have I done? And the problem with that, well, I guess not really a problem, it's a good thing. The arcade, like, you know, if you play an arcade game in Australia, you just, unless there's someone sitting next to you, you're just playing, you know, against the computer.
Yeah.
And computers usually a lot more forgiving early on, so you can just sort of find your way around it. With the way these arcades over there work out, they're all linked up online.
Okay.
So if I'm playing online and someone else is playing, they can challenge me, and because I don't really know what the words coming up on the screen at me, I'm like, ah, it's all Japanese moon text, what's going on? I'll just hit A, and then I'm suddenly fighting someone else, and then, you know, I'm dead. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks neat. But after, you know, I did the tutorial just so I could get my head around how it all works, and I think the whole phase shifting, it's sort of that's the crux of the game, I think.
Yeah, it definitely is. You're trying to get people or get the opponent into that close-up phase and do a whole pile of damage, but making sure that you don't happen to use a move that pushes them back out of the close-up phase. You kind of want to prolong the close-up.
Well, no, I think... No, I don't know. My technique with Pika Libre was get him into the close-up mode, which I'm trying to find the name of still. And then the minute I've got him into that, I'll do this... She does proper wrestling moves, and she does the Stone Cold Stunner. And that'll be my, you know, I'll try and get him into close-up mode from field, and then I'll hit that right away, because she does, like, this spin forward where she'll hit a few times and then drop him with the stunner. And I just find if I repeat that, I usually tend to do very well. Against the computer, at least, if I'm playing someone online, I need to sort of vary it up a bit.
Yeah, once you're predictable, then it's a lot different against a person. Yes. Speaking of playing against the computer, though... I sort of found it's sort of split up into, it's got a whole bunch of different leagues, and you play through them and you work your way up to the ranks until you get to the highest, and then you are a Pokken Master, or, yeah,
sorry,
I guess.
Sorry for interrupting.
Yep.
Field phase and duel phase.
Ah, there we go. So field and duel. Yes. But yeah, and I played a bit of the single player after going through most of the initial tutorials, and I kind of, it was really, really... boring.
Yes.
Like, it probably gets a lot more interesting as you go on, but I played through about, like, two full league, or two full brackets, I guess you would call them. So it was five battles of three in each of them, so about 10 battles all up. And I didn't lose once. I got, like, a perfect victory in most of them. The enemy just kind of looked like it stood there and waited for you to attack it and would only occasionally try and attack back. That was so boring that I found it really hard to actually push forward and continue playing after that.
So, yeah, I'm up to the third division.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, I've had to force myself to do it. Because it is like, this is so grindy, I just don't care.
Yeah.
Just hurry up. It started to get a little bit harder. Like, I don't think I've actually... I may have lost a round, but I haven't lost any matches.
Okay, yep.
The one I've lost is, like, at the end of each sort of mini league, you'll face, like, Shadow Mew will show up and go, "Oh, I'm evil and I'm Shadow Mew.
I am the bad one." You.
Yes, woo. And I beat him the first time, but then the second time he sort of completely owned me.
Oh, okay.
That's it. If someone's actually... This probably more bridges into playing online. I found it's quite easy, if you play your cards right, to come back from... You know, someone will have you down to like, 20 health. And then I found it's very easy to... If I'm clever, I can...
Sort of work your way right back from that point?
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because you've got, like, the burst meter that will have probably built up if you're on low health, so you can do more damage with every attack while your burst is active and activate the... Is it the super burst attack where it's basically
synergy?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And yeah, basically that's, I guess, sort of analogous to an ultra combo or something like that from a regular fighting game where it's just big and flashy and does a lot of damage and has a cool animation. And yeah, that can really help as well.
And that's the other thing with transitioning between phases is if you cause that transition to happen, you get a boost to your synergy gauge.
That's right.
And I think that's part of why a lot of those transitions, you want to be the one causing them, because if you cause them, you can get you can activate synergy mode a lot quicker.
If you're starting that transition, then you pretty well have the upper hand once you're at the other side of that transition as well.
So there is sort of a bit of a fencing duel sort of feel to it. It's like you want to be the one to get the advantage, but you don't want to leave yourself open
by doing attacks that would. Yeah, a lot of the ones that change phase sort of leave you open if they miss.
Yeah, so I mean, I've played a few games online. I think I've probably played like, I want to say 12, 15, I don't know. And I've lost two or three times. And I find a lot of those games, you know, playing the PC, I'm just hammering at them until I win.
Yeah.
Playing online, though, it's like I'm just being a bit careful, just trying to feel them out.
Yeah, I definitely found that the game came into its own against a human opponent. Like, you're saying, the computer players are just, they're just dumb as doornails. But when you're playing against a person, the rock, paper, scissors comes into play a lot. Like, you've got the attacks, which can... I think it's countered by throws, which can be countered by another kind of attack. It's sort of the...
Counters. There's counters, there's normal, there's throws.
Yeah, and so sort of you start to see a little bit of the mind game aspect coming into it. You can sort of, I think that my opponent's going to do... They're going to do a counter on this attack, so I'm going to do... You know, I think there's like a separate, like a super counter that you can do that counters a counter.
Yeah,
something along those lines. I don't remember the terminology, but like it starts to have be a bit more dynamic than one person just beating another Pokemon into submission. You have a lot of back and forth, and it makes it much more interesting when you're playing against a person either online or in person.
Yeah, I'm only up to like, I've only just finished the second, I think it's like the Blue League or Green League or something.
Yeah,
so I'm hoping as I progress through that, because I'm getting up to like the, I think there's another two or three, I think.
Yeah,
I'm hoping those will be a bit harder and start amping up in difficulty, because a lot of playing for the single player is like, this is boring.
Yeah,
I am only playing so I can get ahead, because that's the only way you can unlock Mewtwo, is you need to finish all of that.
Or you scan your Shadow Mewtwo amiibo card every single time you want to use him.
No, because screw that.
So weird.
So yeah, I don't know. I am. I'm really liking it. I think it's... Actually, can we talk about the graphics?
Yeah, go ahead.
It looks really nice.
Man, it's weird how textured some of the Pokemon are. Like, a furry Pikachu just kind of is weird to me. I don't know if you agree, but it just looks too real.
You're used to it being like this block of polygons.
Yeah, just this primary colored blob of happiness. But now it's like an angry... It actually looks a bit like a rat. And I'm like, not sure how I like that.
I mean, Pika Libre, like, her outfit, it looks like proper, like, wrestling spandex, and you can sort of see the stitching on it, and I'm like, this looks so cool and so pretty. The backgrounds probably leave a little bit to be desired, but I don't give a shit.
I'd much prefer that they have more detail in the characters than detail in the background, clearly.
And the game's very, like, flashy and cinematic. I imagine, you know, for Evo, where this is actually in Evo this year, this will probably be a fun game for people to watch.
Yeah.
You watch those transitions happen, and it's like, oh, yes.
And, like, every hit, you know, it's fairly, as you say, it's very flashy, and if you have two people who really know what they're doing, it's somewhat easy to follow compared to a lot of other fighters, I think, and it will make for, pretty interesting something to watch, I suspect.
And like how it does those, it will do like a slight pause and then maybe swing the camera around, and it's like, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got your super attacks as well, which, you know, mine is I jump off a wrestling ring and do like a spinning splash, and it's like, oh. Actually, is this one of the first games where the Pokemon actually say their name? Because I've noticed Pikachu says Pikachu.
Charizard just sounds like a man. Just going,
but he doesn't make like the Game Boy.
No, none of them have like a little cry.
Which would actually be funny as hell if they just
come out and go. Yes, I'm glad that it would be a little bit out of the ordinary in this situation.
What's your opinion on the voice acting for the announcer?
I mean, yeah. The whole game is sort of narrated and assisted by, is it Nia or Naya?
I
think it's Naya.
I say that, but I actually do. I don't turn her off. I like having her talking.
As part of the game, between each match, she'll do a cheer, which helps you with your support Pokemon, which we also didn't talk about. You can pull in support Pokemon that either do attacks or buffs and stuff like
that. This is one of my two gripes about the game. Mm-hmm. They feel like they do nothing. I'm like, what was the... I forget I have them half the time.
I think, to me, I've found them useful in when sort of another person is, you know, expecting me to do certain attacks. It's another thing that you can kind of throw in as a wild card to throw people off. And so they're sort of caught off guard by either you being having more power or slowing them down so that you can more easily get up to them and get them in a combo. I'll
tell a lie. I have liked using Rotom.
What does he do?
Because what he does...
What does it do? I don't think it's he or she. But
it's a ghost thing.
Yeah.
What happens is if they jump in the air while he's active, he'll go and attack them.
Oh, okay.
So he makes them like
sort of forces them to stay on the ground.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Which is kind of cool. But like, I just haven't unlocked the high-end ones. And for them, you need to play through the single player.
I think it would be a lot of experimentation to work out. You'd be able to do certain sort of combos with with particular Pokemon, and then you could use the support Pokemon to kind of prolong the combo, possibly, or to connect things that wouldn't normally connect. There's probably a lot of sort of technical stuff that you can do with them that I just haven't explored so far, possibly.
But I tried using Mr. Magnus and Ninetales.
Miss Magius?
Yes, that's the one, sorry.
Mr. Magnus.
There's 720 of
there
the things.
Are.
There
are.
You know, there used to be a point where I knew all of them, and now I'm like...
You could do a whole rap of them.
Yes. And I was going to try, but no. but now I'm like, what? How do you say that?
What? Yeah, it's a little bit
or
like
whereas
that.
Back in Gen 1, we had... It's a seal that does ice attacks. We'll call it...
Seal.
Fucking genius that day, guys.
This one is like a dugong. Let's call it dugong.
It's Charizard. Venusaur. Bloody, you know, Pikachu, which probably means something, I don't know. Seal. Why? You're not trying. You've just... That's like the end of a hard day. Like, I imagine they're named all, like, 148 so far. And so, We still haven't worked out a name for that stupid ice seal. I just bloody call it seal.
Done. Ship it. Ship it.
Cool. Done. Sorry. Rant.
Yeah.
Let's talk.
Yeah, what were we talking about with Pokemon Tournament?
But yeah, the assist characters. I mean, I like the idea of it, but I just still haven't really got my head around them yet. I guess once I start playing online and really lock my style of play down, I might.
I think that is useful as something to pull out as one more move that you can only use once or twice a match, depending on how quickly it charges and things like that.
Yeah, or maybe I'm just so pro that I don't need
it. Oh, maybe.
Yeah, that could be it.
But yeah, and I mean, unless you had too much more, I think sort of to sum up with my thoughts on Pokemon Tournament, I think it's fun, but I don't see myself playing it long term. Like when I was playing, you know, with games like this, you know, competitive fighting games, I'll have a couple of friends that I'll play the fighting games with regularly. We played it for about an hour or so, and it was good fun for that while, but in the end, we just defaulted back to Smash, and I feel like that's what's going to happen long term. I just don't think this is going to be like something that stays on my roster long term.
I think Smash has got that party game element to it, where you can have a bunch of friends and it's just, you're mucking around, even though when it does get super serial, it is still just like, it's a party game.
I mean, yeah, so, at the same time, like you can play it as a party game, you can play it as a one-on-one heavily competitive game, it's super versatile like that. But I mean, even, you know, I'll often have nights where we'll play nothing but Marvel versus Capcom 3 for 4 hours straight, but I just don't think I could do that with Pokken. It's just, I don't know, it's probably just that I haven't played it enough to really understand all of the intricacies, but I just don't know that I'm going to bother when I already have so many other fighting games to play.
See, I think for me it's because I don't have a lot of other fighting games. Like the last one I really got into was probably, I didn't even play that much of it, I just played through the story mode, was that DC fighting one that came out.
Injustice?
Yes, that I got for free on PSN.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I've always looked at, like, I've always liked fighting games, I've always wanted to, but I've never felt I was that good at them, because by the time I get into them, everyone else has spent ages just playing them.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm horrible at fighting games, but I'm at a level where I can play well enough against the friends that I play with, and that's all I need.
Unless someone rocks up with King DDD.
Oh, God.
Wario on a fucking bike.
But yeah.
But I mean, I'm sort of, because I don't have that fighting game experience, I play this and I'm like, I could sort of see myself playing this for a couple of, like for an hour or two, like every week, just go online, play some games, play against some people.
And on the online, it worked reasonably well for me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't notice any lag or anything, yucky.
I had one game which sort of lagged a bit. But then it sorted itself out pretty quickly, and then we're just playing.
I mean, yeah, playing against someone in California is the one that I remember, and it was like I was playing someone locally, so it was, yeah, that did well there.
I'm really interested to see how the fighting game community picks up on this, because I think there is a lot of potential in this game.
Especially since it's being played at Evo, I think that'll really help it be a mainstay in the overall fighting community.
Just how cinematic the battle, like, you know, like Smash Brothers is the highest, most watched game at Evo now.
I don't think it'll ever get to the level of Smash Bros. Or Street Fighter 4, but it might be sort of on the level of, I guess, anime fighters, maybe. It's got a small niche crowd that are really into it. I don't think it'll ever
like
be the
Persona
mainstream.
Arena or,
yeah, or like Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, that sort of thing.
I think it has potential to be mainstream just on the brand.
Potentially, yeah, that's an idea.
I really hope they use this to build upon to do, like, Pokken 2. Because, I mean, that's my other problem with the game, is I don't think there's enough to it.
Yeah, I did feel like I'd played all the characters and was kind of, I think that's why I stopped playing when I was playing with friends. I was just like, well, I've played with all the characters now.
I mean, I guess it has more content than Street Fighter V at the
yeah.
moment. But they've said, you know, well, we will be fixing that up. There is more characters coming. There is single player and all this jazz coming. They haven't said anything about what's happening to this. And my big problem is, yeah, I kind of want, like back when we first heard rumblings of a Pokemon fighting game, that really interested me, because I'm like, oh, if they have it as just purely fighting types, like that one episode of like season one of Pokemon where Ash gets the Primate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he goes to the tournament of fighting type Pokemons. I'm like, that would be really cool, a game of just fighting type Pokemon. And you've got like you know, Hitmontop and Hitmonlee and the hundreds of others that aren't coming to my mind right now.
Gosh, I thought you knew all the first-gen Pokemon. Gosh.
What's... No, I'm not just thinking of... Is it Slowking? Slowking?
Slacking?
Or, Slacking. And then there's that sumo wrestler one from Gen 3. You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? Had... Oh, I can't remember. It starts with an H.
Because, I mean, to me, like, you know, there's probably 30-odd fighting-type Pokemon that they could have just built a pretty good roster around.
Mm.
And I would have liked that. That said, what we've got... I'd still weird it out by the fact we've got Chandelure.
Yeah, I do... I really like Gengar. Gengar has some really cool abilities and stuff that keep the fight quite fun.
So, yeah, I mean, I have hopes that, you know, maybe the next one will come out and it'll have, like, maybe twice the roster and you've got, like, Breloom or Heracross or, you know, Chestnut or something.
Mm.
Or maybe some of the new fighting types from Sun and Moon.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if this is a one-off or if it ends up being a ongoing series.
Actually, have you looked much into like the avatar customization stuff?
Oh, I saw a lot of custom avatars online, so clearly there's a lot to be done there.
Yeah. I am disappointed that there's no option to choose. Because you can also choose like a bunch of like little pre-match slogan
saying
you'll have.
Yeah, that's like most fighting
disappointed.
Games.
I was disappointed I couldn't find one that said, I like shorts, they are comfy. But
man, missed opportunity.
Well,
on that, any final thoughts?
I think it's a good game. It's not great, but, you know, the Wii U's not exactly overrunning with great fighting games. I think it's what's this, Smash Brothers, there's a Tekken game, and DC
Injustice,
game.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like most fighting games, if you sit with it and sort of commit to it as the fighting game that you're going to play and you have enough people around you that are going to play it with you, then it could be... You know, could be your game. It could be the game that you play every single time you see the friends. But you know, and it would be perfectly fine for that. It's just not that for me.
Cool.
So that's that for this fortnight. We'll come back in a moment to finish everything up. Hello, we're back. I'm back just to finish up the whole podcast and let you know what's going on the website at the moment. So we've got a bunch of reviews that have gone up sort of since we last chatted. There's a review for Twilight Princess, or the HD Twilight Princess, obviously. Project Cross Zone 2 and Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, I believe, yep, is the one. And I'm currently working on a review for Stellar Glow, so that'll be up there reasonably soon, and you'll find out all my thoughts there. If the talk about rumors, the whole stopping the Wii U thing, piqued your interest, then Vuk has that piece about the Nikkei and all of the things that they have sort of leaked and then had denied and then ended up being true or false. It's really super interesting to read back through, especially if you either were around back in sort of the GameCube era or are interested in that sort of time frame. And yeah, that's pretty well about it as far as what's going on. The regular sort of bargain guides of any games that are coming out. Hyrule Warriors Legends is the most recent one that might still be relevant by the time you hear this. Otherwise, just make sure you keep having a look at that site because we put everything there. Otherwise, we're on YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram, and they're all as vooks.net, VOOKSDOTNET. As far as I'm aware, that works for all of them. And if you want to find out what garbage I talk about on the internet, I'm on Twitter at Stephen Impson, and Daniel, you're on Twitter, I hear,
at WorthNintendo, WORTHINTENDO.
And yeah, so that's us. We'll catch up with you next fortnight. I hope you have a super good fortnight, everyone.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bonza.
Bonza Rooney.